الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ذلكم وصاكم به لعلكم تتقون. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الرجل على دين خليله فلينظر أحدكم من يخالل، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. My respected ulama, elders, brothers in Islam, before starting our talk proper, some advices which was given by Hatim Asam Rahmatullah Alayhi. We'll just mention one sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's a very simple sunnah, which we all know maybe, but just for us to read it a bit more, to understand the benefit of it. As you've prepared this card there, 12 beautiful and amazing du'as from the Quran Sharif. Every du'a is very great. Du'as, one is our du'as, one is the du'a of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and one is the du'as of the Quran Sharif. So these, the du'as of the Quran Sharif, subhanAllah, it's come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, the one who answers du'as. And the simple dua, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. So Anas radiallahu anhu says that the most frequently recited dua by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was this dua. How many of us read it? When he said any dua he made sure that this dua was included in there. And it comes in some narrations that when shaking hands, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not let go of the other person's hands until he recited this dua. So when making salam to somebody, then we can make dua for that person. And such a simple dua, we are making dua for that person, we are making dua for ourselves. So what's the meaning of Rabbana Atina? O Allah, give us in this dunya, in this world, hasana, goodness. What does it mean, goodness? Ulama say it means good health, pure livelihood, good character, virtuous deeds, honor and praise by the creation, sincerity, a pious spouse, pious children. This is Rabbana Atina fi dunya hasana. وفي الآخرة حسنة. And Allah in the year after give us حسنة, make it easy for us on the day of Qiyamah, make it easy for us entrance into Jannah, save us from all difficulties on the day of Qiyamah. وقنا عذاب النار, and save us from the fire. Two fires, one is the fire of shahwat and desires in this world, Allah protect us from that, and the other one is the fire of Jahannam. The person is asking protection from there, and maybe the fire of the qabr, the difficulties in the qabr also. So what a jami', what a comprehensive dua. The person makes this dua, ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Allah give us tawfiq inshallah. And sometimes when we meet somebody, we make salam to him, also make this dua. Remember, when we make dua for somebody else, then there's an angel on our shoulder and he's making dua for us. Ameen walaka mithlu. Whenever you make dua for somebody else, the angel is saying ameen, may Allah accept your dua, and may you get the same thing also. There was one day one person, his friend told him, must make dua for me, I want to get married. So he was making dua for him. Every day, iftari time, he's making, Allah, my friend wants to get married, give him a wife. So his wife one day heard the dua, so she shouted him, what kind of dua you must make? What kind of dua are you making? So he said, hey, my wife is right, you know, I'm just making dua for a wife. This time I get the wrong kind of wife. Let me make a good dua for him. Like, Allah, give him a pretty wife, good akhla, good character, all of this, and I'm making all of these duas. Then his wife came, she took a well and she gave him one shot. And I watered him, and he said, I must water my dua. He said, I know you men. You making dua for your friends, you get another one like that day also, because you know the angel will say ameen for you. You also must say the same thing. So that's why we're making the dua. So really, we make Rabbana Atina fi dunya hasana. Make dua for your friend, whoever you meet. Make the sunnah also alive. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you shake hands with the other person, you will make this dua also. Such a simple thing. And there are other duas also in here. Inshallah, we try and read these duas every day. The object of dua is not to read a dua. The object of dua is to ask, to beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is just an example for us to learn. Once we learn the dua, then it becomes easy for a person now to understand the meaning of it. And then when we are making dua, we must ask Allah Ta'ala, beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Anwar rahmatullah alayhi said that Allah Ta'ala's special attention and focus is directed to a person when he's making dua. So he said, even when you are making dua, even if you don't get outwardly what you ask for, but because Allah's special attention and focus is upon you, that worry and grief and sadness which a person is feeling in his heart, he'll be saved from that. Just by making dua. So Allah Ta'ala will protect a person from depression, from all worries and anxieties. Even if he got problems in life, Allah will make it easy for him. He'll be comfortable. This is the benefit of dua. So really Allah give us tawfiq that we make dua a part of our life. Not just it's customary after Isha namaz, after the Fard namaz, we just lift up our hands, put our hands, Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. We don't even know what the Imam Sahib is saying. Maybe the Imam Sahib is cursing us also. He's very upset with the mutawallis of the masjid. He's shouting the mutawallis, making bad dua for them. And he's saying, Ameen, Ameen. So he doesn't even know. We actually have to know what the meaning of the dua, because dua is asking. We are begging and petitioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. This advice is, there was once a person by the name of Hatim Asam rahmatullah alayh. He was a student of one very pious buzruk by the name of Shaqiq Balakhi rahmatullah alayh. So one day Shaqiq Balakhi rahmatullah alayh asked his student, Hatim, how long have you stayed by me, in my company now? So he said, I stayed 33 years in your company. He said, subhanAllah, 33 years. What did you learn from me in 33 years? So the first thing we learned, suhbah, the importance of staying in the company of the pious and the righteous. So many years he stayed in the company of his sheikh, of his ustad. So we also should always stay in the company of good people, pious people. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ar-rajulu ala deeni khalili. A man is on the deen of his friend. Every one of you must be very careful who he befriends. And one hadith, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to the sahaba, who you must be your friend, such a person when he speaks, your knowledge increases of deen. When you look at him, you think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You think about akhirat. So these are the people we should try to stay in their company. Once, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah alayhi mentioned this incident that he heard from his ustad, Mawlana Muhammad Yaqub Sahib rahmatullah alayhi. This happened before the mutiny in India, before in 1857. So what happened was, there was one person, he became very sick. And he wasn't well. There was a place called Jalalabad, he was living there. So there was a Hakim Sahib in Thanabawan. So he happened to go and visit some family member of his in Jalalabad. He went there. And somebody said, this man is sick, please go and visit him. So when Hakim Sahib went to that place, the person, so when he came in the room, then he felt his pulse and he said, this man is very sick. I don't think he'll manage to survive the night. It's quite bad, just like he's about to pass away. So as the Hakim Sahib finished and he woke up and he started walking out, so the person started screaming, please Hakim Sahib, stay here, stay here. Hakim Sahib was a very pious person. So he asked, why, what's the reason? You see, before you came inside, there was two frightening looking men. They came inside the room with a big cage, and this cage was full of fire, and they wanted to put me in that cage. But the minute you came inside the room, they went away. They said, we'll come back later. So I'm frightened now. If you leave the room, they'll come back for me. Then the Hakim Sahib had to leave, and a short while later this man passed away. And then many people had a dream about this man, that you mustn't give Isal al-Sawab for him, because he passed away with kufr, with disbelief. And what was the reason for this? That they were building a shrine for the Hindus in that area. So they had gone to this man, and he also gave some money for that Hindu shrine. So it was an act of kufr, because you can't build something of the non-believers, their shrine or the church or whatever, like that their person is giving money for that. So because of that, it seemed like he passed away without iman. So therefore, a person's friend, he was staying in the company of Hindus, so he actually gave money for their shrine, and that's why he passed away in such a bad way. So Allah protect us. Sometimes it happens in our environment, because we are living with a lot of non-Muslims around us, we don't realize it. But say, example now, it's Diwali, or it's Christmas, then we say, Happy Christmas to you. Happy Diwali. Or even our shop will have the Happy Diwali. Or whatever, we don't realize it, that Diwali is a religious symbol of the Hindus. Christmas is a religious symbol of the Christians. Easter also, Happy Easter, we tell a person. So we are actually congratulating a person on kufr. Ulama say, some ulama have written, that if a person committed adultery, for example, so you go tell him, hey, Mubarak, very blessed you committed adultery. Nobody will do that. We know it's a very evil thing. So they say the sin of congratulating somebody on adultery is not as bad as congratulating somebody on shirk and kufr. So you are congratulating somebody, Happy Christmas, Happy Easter. It's a dangerous thing on your iman. Today, unfortunately, in the newspapers, we get so many times, somebody was saying, one newspaper, they had Diwali time, so many Muslim people are sending Happy Diwali and Happy Festivity, in newspapers, they said advertisements or whatever, to their non-Muslim clients.
So this is something very, very dangerous for a person's iman. So Allah Ta'ala protect and save us. Maybe we didn't know about it, but at least we learn from ourselves and we continue learning. And we should be very, very particular about this. Any symbol of the kuffar and disbelievers, the Christians, the Hindus, we should be very careful of ever showing like some kind of love towards it, or some kind of happiness towards it. Person should be very, very careful about it. If you meet a person, how are you? To have good akhlaq and character is not a problem at all. But to show happiness on his festivity, now you're giving him a Christmas present or you're giving him a Diwali present. So much so we got our workers working for us. Don't give them a Christmas present. Because now we're showing that we're also celebrating their function. When you tell a person, okay, it's the end of the year, I'm giving you an end of the year present. Don't say a New Year's present also, because New Year's also is a function of the sun worshippers or whatever. But I'm giving the end of the year extra bonus, I'm giving you. And don't give it on the 25th of December also. Because then we are showing that we have got some liking for that function of theirs. And you must tell them, each time I'll give you extra. So each time we give them extra present to show that this is our big day. So in this way, inshallah, we're saving ourselves from all kinds of kufr and the actions of kufr. Allah give us true understanding, inshallah. So anyhow, he said, how long did you stay in my company? He said, 33 years. He said, what did you learn in 33 years? He said, I learned 8 sabaks, 8 lessons. He said, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. I wasted my life. 33 years I'm sitting and teaching you and you only learned 8 things. He said, you know, I can't speak lies. I only learned 8 lessons. He said, okay, tell me then, what is the 8 lessons you learned from me? So then he mentioned the 8 lessons which he learned from his ustad. And after he mentioned the 8 lessons, the ustad told him, ahsanta ya hatim. Oh hatim, you've done a wonderful job. He said, I read the Torah, I read the Injil, I read the Zabur, I read the Quran. All the kitabs from cover to cover. And what you have told me in these 8 lessons you learned, it covers the knowledge of all of those 8 kitabs. All of those 4 kitabs. All the knowledge inside there is in these 8 lessons which you have learned. He said, you have done may Allah Ta'ala give you tawfiq and give you high rank, greater knowledge also. So what were the 8 lessons? Inshallah, very briefly we will go through the 8 lessons. Which is like you can say the summary of the Quran, the summary of all the previous scriptures, and all the teachings of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So you see, the first lesson I learned from Ustad from you is that every single person in this world, he got somebody who he loves. But when a person dies, then his beloved doesn't come with him to the qabr, doesn't come with him to the grave. So I thought to myself, I need to get something which I love a lot, but it will help me in my qabr, in my grave. So I decided hasanat, good actions, if I make that my beloved, because that will come with me in the qabr. Comes in one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a person passes away, the 3 things come to the graveyard with him. In the past time, they take the money of a person also, his family members, and his good actions. But 2 of them return and only 1 of them remains with him. His good actions remain with him. One day there was a person, it's just a story, but when we hear about it, we also get excited. He had 4 wives. People, let's hear about 4 wives, they get excited. So anyhow, he had 4 wives. So when he was about to pass away, so he called his 4 wives. He called the first wife. This wife, he spent a lot of money on her. All the time he was spending money on her. He spent most of his time with her. And so he told the first wife that, you know what, will you join me in the qabr, in the grave? I'm leaving this world now. She said, I'm sorry, I can't help you at all. Turned around and went away. He was very upset. Second wife, this wife, he always like to show off to all the neighboring people, countries. He goes to other places, show off this wife here. She was very pretty and very beautiful. So he asked her, will you join me in the qabr? She said, I'll never not join you. The minute you die, I'm getting married to somebody else. She walked away. Third wife, this wife is always helping through thick and thin. He had some problems in life. He always could go to this wife and ask her and help for help and assistance. He asked her, you'll help me? She said, see, I'll help you when you die. I'll help to bath you. I'll even clothe you. I'll even take you to the qabristan, to the graveyard. But I'll leave you there. I can't come with you in the qabr. And I'll have to leave you after that. Maybe I'll read some dua for you also, make some fatiha, whatever I'll read for you. But I have to leave after that. So now he was like lost now. And then the last wife, he saw her. She said, you know what? My husband, I'll be with you. I'll stay with you. But then he looked at that wife of his and he could see she was so neglected. He never spent time with her. He never worried about her. He never cared for her. She was so weak, so like old. So like really what help could she be of him? So anyhow, this is just a story, but the ulama say that these are the 4 wives we've got in our life. Every person has got these 4 wives. The first wife is our bodies. Every person is worried about his body. He's making so much effort on his physical body. And he's going gymming, he's buying all creams, lotions, and all of these things, all for the physical body. Soaps and what he's doing for his physical body. But the minute you pass away, that body is in the coin, is rot in the grave, it can't be of any help to you. So much of effort you made on it. The second wife is all the outward things you've got. You've got your house, you've got your car, you've got all the beautiful things you're showing off to other people, your curtains and what swimming pool you've got, all of these things. But the minute you pass away, that possessions are going to somebody else. They're getting married to somebody else. They won't be with you. And the third is your family and friends. Times of difficulty, problems, you go to your family, you go to your friends, they'll help you. When you pass away, they'll help you to the qabristan also, they'll take you to the qabr also. They'll come with you till there, but after they'll make salam to you also. But now you have to go on yourself. And the last wife, the fourth wife, is your soul. What's inside you. But all the others you make so much of effort upon. But the one which is the most important, which will help us in our qabr, it will be with us on the day of qiyamah. We forget about the soul. Let us look in our lives today, was the day of Jumu'ah. How much of time did I spend on my physical body? How much of time I spent on my family and friends? How much of time I spent on my house and all of other things? And how much of time did I give to my soul? But if the soul is the most important, the ruh, the soul of a person, but how much of time did I give to that? So really this is the thing which will come with us, accompany us in the qabr, our good actions, this will help a person. So this is the first lesson you see I learned, that every single person has got something beloved in his life. But I realize whatever beloved thing you've got in your life will have to separate from you. Once Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam and told him that Ahbib man shi'ita fa innaka mufariku. O Nabi of Allah, love whoever you want to in this world. Remember, one day you'll have to separate from that person. You can't remain with that person. So really the beloved is a person's good actions that will remain with the person. And even higher than this is to make our beloved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah will be with you always. Allah will be with you in this world. Allah will be with you in the qabr. Allah will be with you on the day of qiyamah. If Allah is yours, then everything is yours. So really to make Allah our object of life. So this is the first lesson he say I learned from your Ustaz. Second lesson he say in the Quran, I learned this here, that I saw that every single person has got desires. Allah has created desires with every person, and they want to fulfill their desires. But I saw in the Quran, Allah said, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ. A person who fears standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he controls his desires. Allah has made desires within a person, and the desires are very important. It's supposed to be there. Many people say, you know, I got so strong desires. I just want to look at women. I just want to talk to them. I just want to fulfill my desires. So the desires itself are not bad. The desires are very good. But only a person has to learn to control those desires. Our Buzruq mentioned, if a person never have desires, he cannot become a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only with desires you can become a wali of Allah. And the more stronger your desires are, the greater wali of Allah you can become. A person has got petrol in his car. He only got a 50-liter tank. He can only go 500 kilometers. Because he got a small tank. Another person got a 100-liter tank. He can go 1,000 kilometers. Another person got a jet tank. He can fly to Makkah Mukarramah. But the same tank, he got so much of petrol inside, he can also fly to Disneyland. But on the other side now, he's flying to Makkah Mukarramah. He's using the petrol in the right direction. So the more desires a person has got within himself, the more close he will get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why they say a person who doesn't have desires, he's a person who's completely useless, he doesn't have desires. He cannot become a close wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because a close wali of Allah is a person who has got taqwa. Taqwa means you've got desires and you control your desires. So every one of us has got desires. Allah has created desires within a person. Now it's just for a person to learn how to control the desires, and then he'll become a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, I realized in my life, the second lesson was that every person has got desires. But Allah said, a person who controls his desires, Jannat is his place. So I made great effort to control my desires. Allah has made the desire of, for example, money. Every person has got desire to get money in this world, there's no problem. But we have to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, control ourselves from earning haram. Everyone has got desires for women, and a person has to control himself. He can easily fall, can commit haram, he can do wrong with people, with a woman. Many of us, maybe working, we've got secretaries nearby. And it's so easy for a person in today's time to commit whatever he wants to, whatever evil he wants to, fulfill every desire of his. He's sitting on the cell phone at night, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night, his wife is fast asleep. He goes on to the porn site and he's sitting and watching and enjoying himself. But only Allah is watching that person. And a person who controls himself at that time, he got that strong desire, subhanAllah, where he'll go closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was one incident mentioned of one youngster, very handsome youngster. This is to show how Allah ta'ala appreciates a person's sacrifice in this world. Allah knows our desires we got. And Allah is testing every person. Sometimes a woman comes in our life, we think, eh, ni'mata ghayr mutaraqqaba. This is a bounty. Unexpected bounty. It's not a ni'mat khair mutaraqqaba. It's not an unexpected bounty. It's a punishment. Or it's an examination and a trial. Allah sent her into your life to test you. Are you loyal? Or are you disloyal? is a test from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to be very, very particular and careful and look and protect ourselves. Thodi der ki lezzat, hamesha ki zillat. Sometimes for a short while a person gets a bit of enjoyment and then he's disgraced forever and forever. Just yesterday I read one ajib, an alim, one great scholar in the past, he had written this point here. Said he comes in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a person who drinks wine in this world, he will be deprived of wine in the year after. And a person who wears harir, silk, he will be deprived of silk in the year after. That means whatever bounties Allah has kept for us in the akhirat, if you use it in the wrong way in this world, you'll be deprived of it in the year after. You'll go to Jannah also, but Allah will not create within you the desire for that bounty. So you'll enjoy yourself in Jannah, but you won't get the benefit of that bounty in Jannah. The person who drinks wine in this world, he'll be deprived of the wine of the year after. So you see, according to this understanding of these hadith, a person who, for example, commits zina in this world, he fulfills his desires with other women. He said he'll be deprived of enjoying himself with the woman of Jannah. What a deprivation it is. Because what Allah has kept for a person, with the wine is there, the certain clothing is there, the music of Jannah is there, a person who listens to music in this world will be deprived of the music of the Akhirat. A person who filthed himself, dirtied himself, besides the disgrace which he has to go through in this world, he'll be deprived of that enjoyment in the year after. So what a stupid person for a few minutes of enjoyment in this world, and he destroyed that everlasting enjoyment. But for years and years and countless billions of years, a person can enjoy himself for a little bit of enjoyment of this worldly life. May Allah Ta'ala protect and save us. Today the environment has become so easy for a person to fulfill his desires as he wants to. But really, if a person remains firm, steadfast, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّي, after saying that before Allah Ta'ala tomorrow, what answer am I going to give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And here also, many of us are parents. Allah protect and save us. We know the environment today in the schools, in the universities. The day before yesterday, one person was telling me, as I was mentioning about company also, so he said there's one girl from one of the farm towns. Normally the girls who come from farm towns are a bit more haya, shame in them. But she's saying that, you know what, I've got 7 or 8 friends, and all of them, they've already fulfilled their desires. I'm the only one left out. So I'm feeling very bad. So she's phoned one boy and she told the boy, please, also me, I also want to enjoy myself this weekend, so I booked one place. Please come here. Her parents don't know nothing. My daughter is a very innocent girl. She's living in Johannesburg. She's studying. But these people are destroying themselves, destroying the akhirat also. See, many of them are saying, now I don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But because in the varsity, so much of emphasis is put on Darwin's theory of evolution. So much of emphasis is put on LGBTQ. So many of the youngsters are going there. One youngster told me the other day, he's in university. He said, you know, Maulana, after going through the whole university system, I'm a teacher now. He's qualifying this year. He said, I'll never send my children to university. He said, I saw in my own eyes my friends in front of me. They're losing the iman. He said that they don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anymore. He said, besides us, the two of us, me and my one friend, because we knew we were fighting, and whatever the teacher is saying, we're refuting it. We're saying it's nonsense what he's talking. It's not right. I'm doing a teaching course. He said, but how much of effort they're putting in the brainwashing us about Darwin's theory of evolution, that many of the youngsters around us, they all became atheists. They don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anymore. So what a sad thing. May Allah ta'ala protect and save us. So as I was mentioning, that this nafs and desires, Allah has placed within every person. There was one youngster one day, and he was very handsome. So one old lady came to his shop. She went to buy some goods. So she bought the goods, and now she was leaving. She said, I got no money. You'll have to come to the house and pay the money there. I'll give you the money there. I'm working for one lady. So he said, when I went to the house, and he was extremely handsome, the woman of the house saw him. So she became infatuated with him. She was sitting on a beautiful chair, and she was very, very pretty looking. And when she saw, she told her guard, lock the door. And she went to this man, she started embracing him and started pulling her towards him, towards her. And she said, you'll have to fulfill your desires with me. I'll never let you go out of this house. So he thought to himself, how is he going to save himself now? So this is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can I do any evil here? My Allah is watching me. So he told her, no problem. Whatever it is, I'll fulfill your desires. But just give me a bit of chance. I just need to relieve myself. So she allowed him. So he went upstairs. In those times, it wasn't like in today's time where you got a toilet and you flush the things away. They used to have certain places where people used to go to toilet, relieve themselves, and somebody will come and clean up all the dirt. So he went there, and it was all excreta and all of that. So he took all of that excreta and he put it over his body, and he rubbed his whole body properly with it. So anyhow, he came out of the room, and that woman saw him. She got a shock of her life. She said, this is a madman. Oh, you brought a madman in the house. He opened the gate, get out of the house. Anyhow, he ran out of the house. He went, he had a little bit of money. He bought some soap. He washed himself. He went by one pond. He went back home. He never told his father anything. And that night he had a dream, and he sees Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam in a dream. And Jibreel alayhi salam says that Allah loves that action of yours so much, Allah sends salam to you. And Allah said, how you want to look after your chastity and your purity? Allah loves that action of yours so much that Allah will give you izzat till the day of Qiyamah. It's clear after how many hundreds of years we're still mentioning his story. And even in this world, Allah will give you honor. See, the next morning he woke up and his body was full of musk. And for the rest of his life, wherever he walked, there was always a smell of musk coming out from his body until he passed away. So Allah gave him izzat and honor because the person, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. He controlled his desire for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. And there's not only one waqiyah, there are so many waqiyahs in incidents like this. This person who had the opportunity, but he abstained from the pleasure of Allah. What Allah Ta'ala granted that person. So anyhow, you see, this is the second lesson I learned in my life. If you learn to control yourself and you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Allah will give you, Jannah is prepared for a person. He says, the third lesson I learned in my life is that everybody has got something of value. And when you've got something of value, you like to look after it, you protect it. You put it in your safe, you look after it. So I thought to myself, that no matter how much I protect my goods and my items, eventually it will become destroyed. But if I keep it in the safe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will remain forever. Because Allah says in the Quran, مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدُ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ. What is by you will come to an end. But what is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remain forever and forever. So I thought to myself, I'd rather invest all my properties and my money and all of those things by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that will remain forever and forever. Our Buzruk says so nicely that whatever money a person is sending to the Akhirat, he's spending in the path of Allah Ta'ala, you're not actually spending it. You are just transferring it from one account, the account of the dunya, to the account of Akhirat. You are sending it there. And really, Allah give us yaqeen to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was telling me, he said that one rich person, he called some accountants, and he called one person to tell him, they were checking up his books. So when he was checking up his books, he asked him, how much money sadaqah you gave last year? So he said, no, last year I gave 3.5 million then in sadaqah. So then I asked the person, okay, how much of profit did he make? So he said, I made, one of the bookkeepers said, he made 30 million then profit in the year. So this person said, no, it can't be 30 million. Because Allah said, whatever you give, you're going to get 10 times in return of the day. He gave 3.5 million in sadaqah, you have to get 35 million in profit. How come he got 30 million only? So much of yaqeen this person has. So then he said, no, it's written in the book, 30 million. Then the other bookkeeper said, no, actually, no, this other 5 million was uplan. They were hiding that money away. They want to show it to the tax man. So they said, it's 35 million. So he said, look at the yaqeen of this man. He said, you spent 3.5 million in the path of Allah, Allah has to give you back 35 million. And then he said, the same person was telling him, his accountant or whatever, he said, my whole life I've seen that people who work with interest money, he said, eventually I saw that in life they went up also. But eventually I saw they were completely destroyed. The whole business went down. So I told my friend, I said, no, in Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, it's written in Ma'riful Quran, that in Hazrat Ma'amar Rahmatullah Ali, he said, it is our experience that 40 years, anybody who is working with interest, dealing with all of this kind of money, haram, you see, even though he goes up in life, within 40 years, his whole empire will be crushed. It will be destroyed. Because Allah promises in the Quran, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَا وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. Allah Ta'ala destroys riba, and Allah increases sadaqah and charity. Person will give in the part of Allah Ta'ala, he'll never lose out. Allah will give that person much more. So he said, I also learned this lesson. مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدُ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ. What's by you is going to come to an end eventually. What you give by Allah Ta'ala will remain forever and forever. Even in the dunya, Allah gives that person what Allah has kept for a person in the akhirat. So this was the third lesson, you see, I learned. You see, the fourth lesson I learned is that every person is looking for honor in this world. He wants status. And people look for honor in different ways. One person is looking for honor. Maybe he wants to become the mayor of the town. Another person is looking because of his family lineage. You know, I come from so and so family. The person is looking for honor. I got a lot of money, so he wants honor in life. He said, but I read in the Quran, Allah said, Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. If you really want honor in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the person who got the most amount of taqwa. Become honorable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Adopt taqwa in your life. Allah will give you honor in this world also. So he said, I decided, let me adopt taqwa. Become honorable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah will give me izzat and honor. So really this is something also that today many people are looking for honor. Honor does not lie in big degrees. Inna Allah yarfa'u bihadha al-kitabi aqwama. By means of the Quran, Sharif, Allah raises people. Wa yadha'u bihi akhirin. And those who leave the Quran, they don't worry about the Quran. Allah ta'ala disgraces them. Allah brings them down. So if you're looking for honor, really in the sight of Allah ta'ala is the one who's got the most amount of taqwa. It's not based on color. It's not based on and this a person should remove, and this Islam has come to remove this thing of a different color. This person is better because of a color or is because of a certain family or a certain caste. The main criterion is taqwa. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he thought Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu, when Fatih Makkah, when Makkah Mukarramah was conquered, Bilal radiallahu anhu was standing on top of the Kaaba Sharif and giving azan. And some of the people who had just accepted Islam, some of the Quraysh, they were like shocked that this man, he's a dark skinned man, and he's standing on top of the Kaaba. And they were so upset. And some of them passed very, very bad remarks about it. And one, two others, I think it was Abu Sufyan, he said, I'm keeping quiet about it, because I'm frightened if I speak anything, then wahi and revelation will come. And Allah Ta'ala sent this ayat of the Quran Sharif. Ya ayyuha an-nasu inna khalaqnakum min dhakari wa untha. All of you have been created from Adam alayhi salam and Hawa, men and women. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا. Allah has made different groups and tribes, only so you can recognize one another. It's not that I am more honorable and greater than another person because of my color, because of my where I come from, which gham I come from, or which... No. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ يَتْقَاكُمْ. The one who has got the most honor in the sight of Allah is the one who has got the most amount of taqwa. Allah give us the reality also. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith also, he told the people that there are two groups. One who's got piety, taqwa, he's fulfilling the right of people, he's honorable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the other person is shaqi, badbakht, wretched, the person who breaks the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's got no honor and status in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was the fourth lesson. He says that people are looking for honor through other ways, but the greatest honor in the sight of Allah ta'ala is if you got taqwa. And Qadi Tayyib sahab rahmatullah mentioned a deep point here. He mentioned that you see everybody else looking for honor in life, that honor is based on something very flimsy. For example, money. If tomorrow the money is gone, that honor is gone also. It's got no basis. A person is a president today, tomorrow is, what they say, today you must be a hero, tomorrow you must be a zero. You destroy it. So there's no basis for it. But he said if a person has got taqwa in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so then Allah ta'ala starts loving that person as the person progresses. And Allah loves that person. When Allah loves that person, Allah ta'ala tells Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, you love that person, I love him, I also love him. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam tells the other angels. The angels make a message in the whole world, and that message goes around, it goes in the hearts of people. This taqwa, this honor, has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is very powerful. It's got a very strong basis from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, this honor, nobody can break it in the world. Even if that person passes away, even whatever happens to that person, Allah still keeps that honor of that person, because the basis came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person has got taqwa in his life, and he said, all the other things in this world, the basis is very weak, that's why it is completely destroyed. So anyhow, this was the fourth lesson. The fifth lesson, he says that I see many, many people, they are cursing one another, they are swearing one another, fighting one another, and the main cause of this is jealousy. There's so much of jealousy among the hearts of people. And the more rich a person is, the more jealousy becomes of other people. Allah has given him so many bounties. He doesn't make shukr to Allah Ta'ala, but he's looking at another person and he's becoming jealous. He said, I read the ayat of the Quran, where Allah says, نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. We are the one who has distributed your rosy and sustenance amongst people. When Allah Ta'ala is the one who has distributed sustenance, why must I become jealous of somebody else? If I want, I'll ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why must I become angry with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So really, this is one quality Allah gave us tawfiq. We try to remove the jealousy from our hearts. Jealousy is a quality which comes into a person. It's natural. It comes. A person feels jealous over somebody else. But the ulama say that what's the solution to remove jealousy from a person's heart? Very simple. One day one person went to Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah and said, I'm very jealous of another person. Whenever I see him, my heart is burning. I just want to just destroy him. I want to speak bad about him. I can't manage to see that person. And I'm living a life of Jahannam already. I'm burning inside. What must I do? So Hazrat said, I'm going to give you a prescription, but it's very bitter. But you must practice on it for a while and see how it fares. He said, no problem. So Hazrat Ali rahmatullah told him, okay, see, whenever you meet that person, you make salam first to that person. You don't like him, you hate him. But you go against your nafs and your tabiat, your nature. Take a hadiah and give him a present. If you're going on any journey, go and ask him for duas. When you come back from a journey, first go to visit him and make salam to him and ask him for duas. Occasionally invite him to your house for the dawat. Don't speak bad about him and make dua for him. He said, that's very hard. I hate that person. I must do all of these things. He said, try it out. 3 weeks later, he wrote back to Hazrat Tani rahmatullah. He said, Hazrat, you know, my heart has become so much lighter. Half of that jealousy has gone away. Hazrat said, okay, half is only gone, continue now. Another 3 weeks later, he wrote back, Hazrat, that hatred which I had for that person has turned into love now. I'm feeling so light, I'm feeling so nice now. I haven't got the jealousy anymore. So one of the easiest solutions, you don't like somebody, make dua for that person. And not bad dua, make good duas for that person. Make dua, that Allah must increase that person. As I mentioned earlier, you make dua for somebody, you are actually making dua for yourself. You're going to get benefit. And you make dua for others, and we'll see how that enmity will come out from our hearts. Today, unfortunately, so many people, and that's why one of the biggest reasons why we have so much of fighting amongst ourselves, is too much of jealousy amongst ourselves. And this is the first, ulama say, the first guna, the first thing which happened in the heavens, was shaitan was jealous over Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. That's why he was banished. So the first guna which took place in the heavens was jealousy. And the first sin which took place on the earth also was jealousy. When Habil and Qabil, Qabil was jealous over his brother. He got such a nice wife, so pretty. I want to have that wife. And then because of that, he killed his own brother because of jealousy. So really how jealousy will destroy a person. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, beware of jealousy. Because jealousy will eat up your good actions. Like how fire will eat up firewood. So this is one very simple solution. Whenever we see somebody, we've got jealousy, bad feelings about somebody, make dua for this person. Cry, ask Allah Ta'ala, and Allah ask Allah Ta'ala to remove that enmity. You yourself will feel so happy. Never mind the other person, but you yourself will feel happy. And if you've got a clean heart, subhanAllah, that person is a jannat already. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Anas radiallahu anhu, oh Anas, if you can, and you can spend the night with no ghil, hatred, enmity in your heart for anybody, do it so. Because this is my sunnah. This is my sunnah. And whoever loves my sunnah, فَقَدْ أَحَبَّنِي, he loves me. And whoever loves me will be together with me in Jannah. SubhanAllah, to clean our heart. So this was the fourth advice he had given. There is so much of jealousy, but I saw Allah is giving everything in this world. If you want to ask Allah Ta'ala, Allah will give you also, and Allah will give you better also. But do not be jealous over somebody else. The sixth thing he says, I see many, many people are fighting amongst themselves. They are all with him arguing. They got enmity with other human beings. And I looked in the Quran and Allah said, Inna shaitana lakum aduun. Shaitan is your enemy. Fattakhidhuhu aduwa. Take shaitan as your enemy. Not anybody else. So then I realized that, you know what, why must I take the whole of makhluk and creation as my enemy? Why must I fight with people and I'm arguing with them and all of these things? I'd rather take shaitan as my enemy. Start fighting with him. Because he's our enemy. وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرِ On the day of Qiyamah, when all the matters have been decided, shaitan will give his bayan also. He will stand up. And he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ Allah promised you people. And Allah's promise was true. وَعَدْتُكُمْ And I also promised you people. فَأَخْلَفْتُمْ But I went against my promise. And then shaitan will say that, وَمَا كَانَ لِيَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ I never have any power. I never put a gun to your head. I just give you da'wah. I just told you, hey, why don't you do this? Why didn't you do this here? This put waswasa in our mind, thoughts in our mind. First, tajabtum li. You accepted my call, whatever I told you. So don't come and blame me today. Blame yourself. So shaitan is that day now says, now I don't believe. Inni kafartu bima. I am seeking, I am free from what you people, all the shirk you had made and all the wrong things you had done in this world. I'm free from it. So don't put me and blame me because of what I did. I just encourage you people a little bit. And you people who unfortunately fell towards it. So realize our greatest enemy is shaitan. Our nafs is our enemy and shaitan is our enemy. Take them as our enemy. Do not take the human beings as our enemy. But let us make, even if he's a non-Muslim person, do not befriend him, but we can make dua for him. Make dua if he died for this person. We are the ummatis of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many of us have given dawah actually to our Muslim, non-Muslim workers, friends, people we see, as ulama say so beautifully. See, Sahaba radiallahu anhum hated kufr, but they loved the kafir. They hated kufr because they hated that action of kufr, but they loved the kafir because they felt he's a human being, I can bring him towards Islam. You see, today we hate the kafir, but we love his kufr. The disbeliever, we love him. And they are our good friends. But the kufr, we hate the kafir, the person himself. We don't give him da'wah, we don't bring him towards Islam. But the kufr which is in his heart, we love that. Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullah Alayhi, once he was in Makkah Mukarrama, and that time the Yahud and the Nasara had come and started taking over different places in Makkah Mukarrama and they started coming to the Arabian Peninsula. So the two Yusuf Rahmatullah Alayhi make dua for them. Allah must take them out. The Christians and the Jews from the Arabian Peninsula. So the Yusuf Rahmatullah Alayhi, beautiful, he made the dua, Ya Allah Ta'ala, take the Christians and the Jews out of the Arabian Peninsula. But then he made the next dua to show what was the reason why did Allah Ta'ala punish us by sending the Jews and the Christians right there. He said, Allahumma akhrijil yahudiyata wal nasraniyata min qulubil muslimin. Oh Allah, remove the love of Christianity and Judaism from the hearts of the Muslims. Today we say we hate them, but we got the love of their ways, their lifestyle, their tariqah in our heart. So he made dua that, oh Allah, Allah, remove the love of it. We should also make the dua that, Allah, if we got any love in our hearts for their ways, their lifestyle, Allah must remove it from our heart. And Allah must make Iman beloved to us. So anyhow, we got the enemy we should rather have is of shaitan and not any other human being. The seventh lesson he says, which I learned, that every single person in this world, he needs rozi. He's searching for his rozi. He's searching for his sustenance. And man, unfortunately, sometimes he disgraces himself. He embarrasses himself to get his rozi and sustenance. But I read in the Quran, Allah said, وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. There is no creature which is moving on the surface of the earth, except Allah has taken responsibility to give him sustenance. So when I read this ayat of the Quran, I said, okay, I will search for my sustenance, I will go for it, but I will not make it the object of my life all of the time. There's one person one day, it was Asr Namaz, so he was performing Salah. So the Imams have made them, they weren't sure now, there were 3 rakats or 4 rakats they read. So the people in the masjid are in doubt, the Imams also was in doubt. But one person, he never looked very pious, he said, no, we read 3 rakats. He said, how you know we read 3 rakats? He said, definitely we read 3 rakats. He said, how you know? He said, every day I come after Asr Namaz, I got 4 shops. I make the hisab of all my shops in my rakats. I only finished the hisab of 3 shops today, the accounting of the 3 shops. So I know definitely we only read 3 rakats, we never read 4 rakats. So unfortunately, imagine in our salah also, all the time in our minds, you see a person is working 8 hours in the shop, and then the 8 hours is working in his house, in his mind, all the time. As Mullah Umar Saparan Puri Rahmatullah says so beautifully, he says, what has man become today? He says, Dinku Kamana. Whole day is earning, working, working himself to the bone to earn for the 8 hours or whatever. And then he comes home, the whole day he never eat properly, so now he sits together with his family. Ratku Khana. Dinku Kamana. Ratku Khana. The night now he sits down together with his family, they eat a nice meal. Or Subaku Pakhana. In the morning now he goes to toilet. And now whatever he had eaten the night comes out. So Mona says the next day again, Din Kamana, Rat Kukana, Subaku Pakhana. Say, what has man become? Pakhana Bananika machine. Man has become a machine to make stool only. On the day of Qiyamah he'll come before Allah, Allah will ask him, what have you brought? Ya Allah, I brought two tons of stool. That's the only sum total of his life. So is that the object of our life? So really we have to earn our rosy and sustenance, no problem, a person must earn his sustenance. But don't make it the object of our life. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever is written for you, you're definitely going to get. SubhanAllah, I read a story the other day, which Hazrat Amir rahmatullahi mentioned it. I was looking for the story in Mustadraf, in Kitab is called. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, one day he went to one masjid, and he outside the masjid, he had a mule, so he left his mule outside the masjid. And he went inside to perform salah, but before going inside, he saw a man. He said, please look after my animal. For a few minutes, I'm going to perform salah. So he went inside, he performed his salah. When he came out, he had 2 dirhams in his hand. He was supposed to give the 2 dirhams as a present to that person for looking after his animal. But when he came out, he see his mule is standing there, but the reins have been stolen. That person stole the reins, and he went away with it. So Ali Rajivan didn't do anything now. He said, continued, he went away. When he came home, he told his servant, his slave, here's some money, go to the marketplace and buy for me some reins for my animal. So when the slave goes to the marketplace, he sees the same reins of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu or somebody's shop. So he asks the person, where you got this reins? One person came to sell it to me. How much he sold it to you for? 2 dirhams. 2 dirhams. And how much Ali radiallahu anhu was supposed to give him? 2 dirhams. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said, whatever money was written for him, he's supposed to get it. But he hastened, unfortunately, and he took haram. If he just waited a little bit while, he would have got the same amount of whatever was written for you, supposed to get, he would have got it in a halal way. So unfortunately, whatever is written for you, definitely will get it in your life. You cannot get more. But just make sure you take it in the halal way. If not today, Allah will definitely give it to you tomorrow. This was the 7th lesson he learned. That everyone is running after this dunya, running for his roti, his sustenance. But Allah has taken responsibility. So don't disgrace yourself in trying to earn your sustenance. And this is the last lesson which I learned. Is that today people are putting their trust on everything else in the world. Somebody put his trust on his boss. Somebody trusts his wife, somebody trusts his business, somebody trusts his car, somebody, whatever he trusts. Everybody got trust on something. But I read in the Quran, Allah said, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. A person who puts his trust on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is sufficient for that person. So I realized, I'd rather put my trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah with help and assistance will come to me. Imam Raji rahmatullah is a very great mufassir of Quran. His tafsir al-Kabir is very famous. So in there, one place in Surah Yusuf, I think he's written this point here. He says that this is my 57 years life of my experience in my life. He says, whenever a person in life, whenever, even myself, he says, whenever I put my trust on something else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever work I was doing, I always found problems and difficulties and the work never got done properly. He says, but whenever I put my trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first, on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in what amazing ways Allah ta'ala helped and assisted me and I said, work got finished with so much of comfort and ease. So really for a person to put his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's one amazing story we read. There was one person in Egypt. He was working in one hotel, and in the hotel they were serving wine. So he always had a guilty conscience. He said, you know, they're serving wine here. How can I work in a place like this here? It's haram. and they're serving this wine. So it kept eating him up. So one day he went to one mufti and he asked the mufti, I'm working in here. And is there any way, is it permissible for me? So the mufti said, why? It's not permissible. You cannot work in a place where they're serving wine and you are the manager of the hotel. So he said, no man, please make out a way for me. So he said, I must make out a way for you. I must enter Jahannam because of your dunya, your worldly life. I'm not prepared to do so. This is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, what must I do? The only job I know in my life is to work as a hotel manager. From the time I was small till now, so many years of my life have passed. And I don't know anything else. Who will look after my children, my family? So he told him, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ جَعَلَّهُ مَخْرَجًا. You fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will make out a way for you. But I cannot give you a fatwa for miserability. This is definitely haram. You can't work here. Anyhow, he went home, he started the whole night thinking about it. And then he decided, you know what, never mind. My akhirat is more important, I'd rather resign. So he wrote a resignation letter that I'm leaving the job. And after writing the letter and he signed the thing, now he was supposed to send it and post it to his company. Just then the phone rang. He answered the phone and it was his boss. So his boss is telling him, the person in charge of that hotel, say, you know what, we actually got another job offer for you. They want you to take to look after another hotel of ours. So he said, no problem. He said, no, but the problem is it's not here in this country. It's in another country. It's in Saudi Arabia, in Medina Munawwara, in front of the Rosa of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So when he heard this, he said, my heart became so happy that Allah Ta'ala took me out from this job here. I was prepared. I wrote the resignation. So Allah Ta'ala tests a person. Allah wants to see whether a person will pass the examination or not. When Allah Ta'ala doesn't take the examination, like Ibrahim alayhi salam was about to cut Ismail alayhi salam, he put the knife there and he tried to cut. So Allah Ta'ala tests a person to that level, but Allah Ta'ala doesn't take the full examination. And then when a person passes, Allah Ta'ala honors that person. He said, what a job. Allah Ta'ala took him out from Egypt, a place of wine, and right in front of the Rosa of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was in charge there. So, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. A person who trusts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is sufficient for that person. So these are 8 lessons Allah gave us tawfiq, inshallah, that we try to bring them into our life. As I mentioned, that the ustad told him, may Allah ta'ala give you tawfiq. What wonderful lessons you have learned. This was the summary of all the previous kitabs. All 4 kitabs are read from cover to cover. And this is the khulasa and the summary of all of them. So may Allah ta'ala give me and all of us tawfiq, inshallah, what we have said, bring it into our lives. Just to summarize it again, inshallah, in the beginning of the bayan, we spoke about the importance of dua. And a simple dua, we said, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana. When you meet a Muslim brother, also you make salam to him. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would also make the dua when meeting a Muslim brother. It's a very simple dua. We all know the dua also. Make it for our Muslim brothers. The more we make of the dua, we are making the dua for ourselves. And there are other duas of the Quran Sharif. We've got this card, inshallah. After the program, the brothers can take it. And then the second thing, we read these 8 advices. The first advice was that every single person loves something in this world. But he will only remain with his beloved until the time he passes away. And then eventually that person will separate. So he said, I made good actions, my beloved, because that will remain with me forever and forever. Second lesson, he says, I learned that every single person has got desires, but Allah said in the Quran, a person who fears standing before Allah Ta'ala and he controls his desires, then Jannah is his place. So I made great sacrifice and effort on my desires to bring them into obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that I can prepare my place in Jannah. The third thing he says is that everybody who has got something of value, he likes to protect it. So I realize whatever protection I've got in this world eventually will come to an end. But whatever remains by Allah Ta'ala will remain forever and forever. So whatever I had of value in this world, my money or whatever, my time, whatever, I stored it by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because that will remain with me forever and forever. He says the fourth thing I learned is that every person in this world is looking for honor and for status and respect, and is looking by all different means, either by his family lineage or by his sustenance or whatever, or status and position. But I read in the Quran, Allah said, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. Person who has got taqwa, he's the most honorable in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. So I chose taqwa so I can get honor and status, true honor and status in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says the fourth lesson I learned is that people are swearing one another, cursing one another, and the only reason is because of jealousy. And I read that Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran that we are the one who have distributed your sustenance amongst you people in this world. So I decided that Allah Ta'ala is the one who is giving everything. Why must I fight with human beings? I'd rather ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for my needs, whatever I've got. Why must I be jealous over another human being? I saw in the world, people are all, the whole makhluk in creation are fighting with one another, killing one another, arguing with one another. And I realized that the actual enemy of ours is shaitan. Inna shaitan lakum adun. Take him as your enemy. So I removed my enmity of human beings and I turned my full enmity towards shaitan. So now he's my only enemy. I've made friendship with the rest of creation and I've made my enemy shaitan. And then he said the 7th thing is that every person in this world is looking for his sustenance and rosy, but unfortunately he's disgracing himself narrated in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala said that your sustenance is in the hands of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So I'm earning my sustenance, but I'm not going with the zillat and disgrace, and I'm lowering myself and I'm destroying myself and making the object of my life. Whatever Allah is going to give it, Allah will definitely give it to a person, but that's not the object of my life. And the last thing he says, I learned that whoever puts trust on anybody in this world, then normally this leads to a person to more problems and difficulties. But the person who puts his trust in Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, that Allah is sufficient for me. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهُ Trust Allah Ta'ala, فَهُوَ حَزْبُ Allah will be sufficient for that person. So I put my trust in Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, handed my affairs to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah is sufficient for me. May Allah Ta'ala give myself and all of us. It's easy to speak, even easier to listen to. But the reality of these things must come into our lives. Allah bring these sifats and qualities. And the minimum we can do at least make dua to Allah Ta'ala that, oh Allah, we're very far from this here. But these are what we are looking up towards. And Allah must give us the tawfiq to bring these qualities into our life. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.